Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to the United Stand. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news as we discuss a potential late steal from Manchester United. Are United conducting a secret plan to basically destabilise Manchester City's midfield pursuits? Enmecha, Bruno Guimaraes and Anderson. City can't sign them all, and Man United approaching them all in the hope that they can get two of those players. We'll talk about that and some latest news around that. Also, Ahmad exit hint. He's put out quite a some people are reading too much into it, I think. We'll talk about the Insta post that he's put out, I suppose. Paul Scholes has been talking about Michael Carrick. Got a little bit on Bruno Fernandes as well. Some interesting fixture changes coming up too, and also a few other bits I want to get into as well. So of course, as Vex said, they might relegate City and then we've got a free hit. Well, look, I think let me start off with the Ahmad story first, because I think first and foremost, as much as it might not be the big story that I want to start off with, it's definitely worth just mentioning it at the start, because I think there needs to be some clarity on this around what he said. So basically, he's posted on Snapchat, actually, what is meant to grow does not stay in the same place forever. So, look, it's 2026. People read into things in many different ways, as is their right. What is meant to grow does not stay in the same place forever. Is that an indicator that Ahmad's not happy and he's saying, you know, I've been at United for a few years, maybe I want to go somewhere else at some point in my career? No, it's not that. I think Ahmad's very happy at Manchester United. You can see that in his behaviour on the pitch and off the pitch. I think what he's saying is that in personal growth, things can't stay the same. So if he's out of the team, it's something new. And I think, you know, if you think about it from he needs to keep improving, he's out of the team at the moment, what is meant to grow does not stay in the same place forever. I would say that's more about personal growth, in the sense that what's meant to grow, what has talent, doesn't stay in the same place forever. Sometimes it's in the sun, and it's growing. Sometimes you have to move it into a different place to help it grow more. And when you look at it from Man United and Carrick's point of view, Ahmad is out of the team, justifiably, to help him grow. I think that's what it is. And I think it's an acknowledgement of that from Ahmad. Like, there's no point keeping Sesko out of the team to put Ahmad on the right wing and Mbeumo up front, because we're winning games because of Sesko. So Mbeumo goes to the right wing and Ahmad goes to the bench, because he's not quite where he needs to be. So he goes to the bench to grow. And I think that's what Ahmad's talking about. I personally don't think it's got anything to do with, I've been benched for Sesko, I'm not happy, I'm looking to leave. I mean, he ain't Garnacho, is he? So I don't think, as the official says, he's missed one game, we're overthinking it. I think it's more of an inspirational post for Ahmad to say that he's okay dealing with this situation, which is, you know, not that deep, really. Anyway, let's have a look at... I want to start off... Well, we've started off with that just to cover it off, but I want to talk about this. Manchester City are keen on re-signing midfielder Felix Enmecha from Borussia Dortmund. This is coming in from numerous sources, but also coming in from Patrick Berger, who is a very good journalist around German football. Enmecha was released by City 5 years ago without making a Premier League appearance, but is wanted back by Pep Guardiola. And I think that in itself is quite an interesting thing, because if Pep Guardiola is staying at Man City, and we all believe he's not, I don't think he's staying, but if he is staying, that's going to make it very, very difficult for us to sign people. But secondary to that, we've also got this other story that we sort of spoke about a little bit last night. Man United want Newcastle captain Bruno Guimaraes to replace midfielder Casemiro. The 34-year-old United midfielder has endorsed his brilliant Brazilian teammate and also brilliant teammate, I suppose. Newcastle are currently trying to negotiate a contract extension with Gomes, which could complicate this transfer. That's coming in from AS, which we sort of spoke about last night as well. But also, Manchester United have been linked to Enmecha as well. So I'm just thinking, with Man City wanting Enmecha, Man City wanting Bruno Gomes, they have been linked to Bruno Gomes for the last 2 years quite concretely. And that Man United and Man City also want Elliot Anderson. Are we starting to see a little bit of a master plan here? Now, master plan and Jason Wilcox doesn't go in the same sentence. But look, Jack, I've got to say, when you say Enmecha is shite, fine, it's your opinion, but he clearly isn't shit. Like, he clearly isn't. Like, you don't want to sign him, that's fine, but he clearly isn't shit. If you watch the Bundesliga, he's not shit. He's probably Dortmund's best midfielder, and they are second in the Bundesliga. He's very physical, he's very good on the ball, he's very energetic. He might not be the midfielder you want, but he isn't shit. And I guarantee you, if Man City want him, he isn't shit. So, like, he's not shit. You might not want him, but he's not shit, okay? If Man City want him, and Man City want Bruno Gomes, and Man City want Anderson, they cannot sign all three. They can't. So is this now going to be a clever play from Manchester United, where they are literally going to play a game with Man City? Like, looking at the targets that they're looking for, could we get Bruno Gomes? Could we get Elliot Anderson? Could we get Enmecha? Like, if we're looking at Man City targets, I'm actually quite comfortable with that. I know some of you are saying, oh, it's Ugarte all over the place and Mecha is shit and all this lot. But I've always said this, that if we're looking at targets that Man City want, that's pretty much the way we need to behave in the transfer market. Like, Man City aren't looking at Belaba, we are. But, like, we do need to look at these things because Man City won't be able to buy all three of them. So I think it would be a clever tactic to be focusing in on volume of quality midfielders and almost be on the tail end of what Man City are doing. So, like, if Man City are in advanced talks, Bruno Gomes, we sort of throw our hat in the ring. If they are going for Enmecha, we put our hat in the ring. Elliot Anderson, we know our hat's already in the ring. They can't get them all. And I know people go, well, it's a little bit weak. It's a little bit like sloppy seconds, whatever. But ultimately, we're a long way behind Manchester City. We're a long way behind Arsenal. And I believe we need to be looking at the players that they're looking at. I mean, I'd like us to be going for Alvarez. That's where Arsenal are going. I'd like us to be looking at Elise. That's where Liverpool are going. I think these are the type of players that are going to take Manchester United from maybe competing for fourth or third to competing for the title. And I think the competition for Champions League places, I was having this conversation with somebody at the weekend. I think the competition for Champions League places now almost dictates that you've pretty much got to try and get yourself in a title race to be in the Champions League. I know there is still the gap between Man City and Arsenal, but I think that gap is going to start to get closer. If you look at Liverpool last year, they won the league. We're now competing with Liverpool for third. So think that the gaps are getting smaller all the time. So look, I'm hoping that this is a sign that Man United are looking at players that Man City are looking at. I haven't got a problem with what happened in the summer last year. Arsenal were debating whether to go for Gyökeres or Sesko. We got Sesko. They got Gyökeres. That's what I'm talking about. This might not sit comfortably with some people, but it sits very comfortable with me in the sense that we've got to go for the players that the Arsenals and the Man Cities want because they won't be able to get them all. And if we go for players that they want, that's going to make us stronger. Arsenal wanted Sesko. They did. They just chose Gyökeres. They were very close between the two. It went on for about 6 weeks. There were people in Arsenal saying go for Sesko. There was people in Arsenal saying go for Gyökeres, and they went for Gyökeres. We got Sesko. Look at what he's doing. If we'd gone for, I don't know, Liam Delap, did Arsenal want Liam Delap? No. And this is what I mean. I think it's a really clever ploy. It doesn't sit comfortable with some people. I understand. I don't want to be in this position. But until we're in the position I want to be, I think this is the way you need to behave. When you're Man City, you pick the best. You know, you go for the best. We're not there. To get there, we need to get players that they want. It's what they used to do when we were on top. When they were the noisy neighbours, they used to get players we wanted. This is how you get back to the top. So if Man City are going for people like Bruno Guimaraes and Anderson and Enmecha, then we should be looking at those players as well. And I do wonder if that's our tactic now. And I wonder if it's a tactic that we've not picked up on, because we did do it with Sesko last year and we could do it this summer. We know we're going to do it with Elliot Anderson. What I would say is I definitely think that Enmecha, Stiller will be two targets from the Bundesliga. I don't think Bruno Guimaraes is going to be a target for Manchester United. Speaking to somebody this morning, they were like, well, it just doesn't fit with the way Wilcox, Berarda and Sir Jim Ratcliffe are working. They have a Chelsea model, which is, wrongly or rightly, something they admire. And they're very big on not buying players over 26 and buying younger players with sell-on value and potential. So Bruno Guimaraes will be no. Ryerson from Dortmund will be no. We won't buy players over 26. Which is unfortunate, because I don't agree with that. I think that's a poor tactic. But until they break that rule, which they haven't done yet, and they've been very public about it, Bruno Guimaraes won't be a target for Man United. And the reasons are, he's over 28. He's over 26. Well, he'll be over 28 in the summer. He's over 26. He's going to demand a good wage. I would say he'll want 200 grand a week. And he's going to cost around £60 million. So United won't do it. But I agree with the comment there from Gabrielle, one of our moderators and members, saying we do need leaders. Bruno Guimaraes, look, we can move on from this very, very quickly. The reason we should be buying players over 26 is because look at Chelsea. I watched Chelsea at the weekend. For the second year in a row, Chelsea were in a title race in early December. And for the second year in a row, they're in a Champions League race in February and March. They drop off because they have no leaders. They buy loads and loads of young players who do not have the experience to deal with a Premier League season. They just can't do it. And they keep buying young players. They've not changed their policy at all. They keep going for players under 24. I think it's 24 at Chelsea. I don't think it's even 26. It's not working for them. It just doesn't work. Now, Pep Guardiola wanted to sign Bruno Guimaraes last summer. And look at where they are. And look at Arsenal. I think Arsenal bought a few experienced players in the summer as well, players over 26. The two teams who are fighting for the title do buy experienced players. And we're following the Chelsea model. And I don't know why we're obsessed with Chelsea. I really don't. You know, some people say it's because Sir Jim's a Chelsea fan. I don't know. I don't know whether that's fair. But the reality is we do follow the Chelsea model, and I disagree with it. You can just watch Chelsea and see the lack of experience hurts them. And if Bruno Guimaraes is good enough for Pep Guardiola, he's good enough for us. And I think that's why. I don't want us to go and buy six players who are 29. We've had some bad experiences with 29-year-olds. I mean, Sanchez didn't work out very well. I personally think Casemiro, for the price, hasn't worked out amazingly well. And Varane as well didn't work out amazingly as well, as much as I like them. But Van Persie worked. And also, I think players are playing for longer now. So I would like us to be going for Bruno Guimaraes, but I would personally, I'm dismissing it. I'm not even including it, because until United prove that they're willing to sign players over 26, I just think, unfortunately, and you know it irritates me, we just have to go, well, straight away, he's over 26. And you'll still get journalists linking us to players, but until we break that 26 barrier, I just can't see it. Ian O'Connell's in the chat. Have a great day. Roll on tomorrow. Oh, Ian, I'm so excited. I'm so glad that we've got a match tomorrow. So glad. I'm so. Beth was in the group chat this morning saying, roll on next season when we've got two games a week. It just changes your week, doesn't it? Completely. It makes you just feel different when you've got two games. It's great. Absolutely. Smash a like for that. Mark, as long as Wolf Mader or whatever they... where you spell it, that name starts, we win the game as soon as it starts, is back. Oh, he's talking about Volta Mader. Okay. Dan the Real says, hi Mark, are you not worried that when United lose their first game under Carrick we might spiral, or do we have the mentality to fight back? Look, this is going to sound really weird. There's part of me that's quite It has to happen. We need to lose a game. We do need to lose a game under Carrick. We need to see the reaction. We need to see it. I remember Ollie saying it. I don't want it to happen yet. I don't think we'll lose any of the next three games. But I think deep down we all know we need to see everything. It's like going out with somebody and, you know, you think they might be the one. You know, you need to see them ill. You need to see them angry. You need to see them in as many different situations as you can to learn what they're all about. So we do need to see Man United lose. It would be a very hard decision for the board to make if we don't lose a game before the end of the season, because it sort of forces you to give him the job without knowing how he'll react when you lose. So I'd be very surprised on the board themselves if they're not thinking at some point we need a loss just to see how it goes. But you'd have to give him the job if he won every single game, wouldn't you? So, and you wouldn't know how he's going to react when he loses. So, yeah. You've got to see them in bed as well, says Rob. Just actually talking about marriages. I should have used it as an analogy. I can't remember where I heard it. This is why I'm not going to use it. It really made me laugh. I love a good analogy. And they were like, I can't remember what it was. I think it might have been a comedy. And something disappointing happened. And they said, that's more disappointing than your missus having diarrhea on your wedding night. And it might go over people's head, but just think, that's more disappointing than the bride having the shits on your wedding night. Because obviously, I'm not saying that's where you're going to go on wedding night. What I'm saying is, on wedding night, people are looking forward to a good time. So if your bride was ill, you're not having a good time, are you? You're certainly not going anywhere there. But the point is, you're not having a great time. That just came into my head because of talking about whatever we were talking about. Michael says, why is it disappointing? You're not married, are you, Michael? Or you didn't have a very good wedding night. Michael didn't get it, G. Anyway, we'll move on. You sure it's not a City plan like when they wanted Harry, Fred and Alexi, says Glenn. You can flip it. It could be City talking to lots of midfielders to try and throw us off the scent. I refuse to talk about Elliot Anderson, but then I'm going to talk about Elliot Anderson. We are in talks with Elliot Anderson. Man City are in talks with Elliot Anderson. I don't know whether he follows them on Instagram anymore. I don't know whether he follows us. He did follow Man City. I think that Elliot Anderson to Manchester City is probably the right move for Elliot Anderson, if I'm being completely honest. But every part of me is saying, come to Man United. I think he's brilliant. I think he's perfect for us. You know, I'd pay £100 million for him. But with Elliot Anderson, we're sort of like going, until there's a big development, like, we're sort of going around the houses with Elliot Anderson. Mark, really early shout. Who do we sign in the summer transfer window? How many and what players to be specific? Cheers for all your hard work, says Simon. Well, look, I keep hearing this, and this is like I don't know whether this is going to lead to anything or not, but I keep hearing this. I keep hearing that Wilcox's job is not safe.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
I just don't get that indication myself. There is this dream, Simon, in my mind, that we already have a director of football in Favell who has an in to the likes of Stiller. He was the mastermind around Sesko. He could get us Nagelsmann. I have this dream that we sack Wilcox, we give Favell the director of football job, we bring Nagelsmann in, we get Stiller in, and we really start to build a football club like we should have done with Ranić. That is my dream. And in that dream, we bring in 6, 7, 8 players. And we really start a proper build with a proper director of football. In reality, you know those little Instagram things you see where it's like, you know, Mount Everest, climbing Mount Everest, and it's lovely music. And then it goes reality, and it's that crap recorder music. And it's all, you know, the snow's all horrible and shit, and there's loads of people there. I feel like I have this dream, and it's great music, and it's United on the rise, and Nagelsmann is the manager, and Favel is the director of football, and we're bringing in people like Stiller, and Bruno stays, and we build a really good team, and it's very exciting. And then the reality with the crap recorder music is Wilcox in charge, not buying by very much, retaining all the shit, and yeah, United continuing to be shite. I don't believe the rumours. And they're not massive rumours, but I don't believe the rumours. But look, let's get real here. If Sir Jim Ratcliffe was worth his salt, he would have sacked Wilcox anyway, because the guy has basically presided over a big, steaming, festering shit for the last 2 years. Every decision he's made has been terrible, from Amrim to transfers to I'm trying to find a positive. I really am. But look, the reality is, the dream is right in front of us. So in short, Simon, I don't really know the answer to that one, if I'm being honest. Morning, Goldbridge. My thoughts on this season are simple. 2 losses in our last 22 games. Fantastic. Is it enough? No, we need some big boys for the Champions League, says JB. Goldfridge says, also, Enmeita is 6'3" and a presence in both boxes. That could be important if you want to replace the aerial presence of Casemiro. And replacing that aerial presence of Casemiro is really, really important. I don't know whether you've noticed it this season. You might have noticed it in the last few weeks, but it's been happening all season. It started in September. Like, we're really good at set pieces. And when you watch Everton crowding Le Mans, trying to foul him, or you watch Arsenal and their NFL plays, fair play, that it's legal, it works. We saw Arsenal score 2 goals from set pieces at the weekend. But our set pieces are almost traditional. When we see a corner from United, it literally is just a cross, traditionally, back post, penalty spot, wherever, and Maguire or Casemiro win it. There's no NFL play going on. There's no barge him or, you know, run around the keeper and tickle him. It literally is just a good cross into an area that Maguire and Casemiro can attack in a traditional sense. A little bit like Van Dijk does for Liverpool. So losing Casemiro will stop that. You can't ask Mainu to do that. He can't do it. You can't ask Bruno to do that. He can't do it. So you do need to look at that, because Casemiro's gone. So you do need to look at that. And realistically, there's not many midfielders that we're looking at that are very good in the air. Bailey says our set pieces are normal. I mean, I don't know whether you're rage baiting, mate, but we've literally been shit at set pieces for about 5 years. There's definitely a huge improvement, and that's why we are ranking very highly for set pieces in the Premier League this year. Congratulations to your 50th birthday, says Gabrielle. That's for Millie and me. There we go. Lovely little message there. I thought he was saying it to me then. I was saying, you cheeky git. I'm not 50. Amit says, if we don't get Anderson and Stiller, who would you go for? God. I want to talk about what Paul Scholes said about Carrick. But look, that is a good point. Because even though it's a throwaway comment from Amit, if we don't get Anderson and we don't get Stiller, where do you go? Well, we know the club's going to go for Belaba, but straight away, that's a red flag. Wharton, I think is, you know, I don't know whether that will work or not. But that's the problem for me. If Manchester United want to be successful, it can't be what do you do if you don't get Anderson and Stiller. You've got to go and get better than that. You've got to get the quality in. Because if you don't get that quality in, then how do you ever improve? My big fear with Man United, and it fits in with what Paul Scholes is saying, and I'll read it in a minute because it's very interesting what he said about the next Man United manager. My theory and fear with Manchester United is that they're just very, we're very happy with, I think, you hear bits from within the club, but you're not going to get this, and I don't have this is just a theory. I think in the boardroom,
it's been said, we're never going to win the league anyway. If we can just be in the Champions League for the next 3 or 4 years, it would be amazing. And I think that's been said multiple times in the boardroom in recent years and over the last 10 years, especially under a Glazer ownership. I think it's like, we're not going to win the league and we're not going to spend the money to win the league. We just want to be in the Champions League. I think that is literally, and you can bury your head in the sand if you want, but like, tell me I'm wrong. I don't think this football club has got any ambition to win the Premier League at all. Because we know what it takes to win the Premier League and we've never done it. We've never done the things to win the Premier League. When you look at Pogba, when you look at Bruno, when you look at Alexis Sanchez, when you look at Jadon Sancho, these are not the signings to win the Premier League because there's not enough of them. And I know some of them didn't work out, but it's always one big signing a summer. It's one big signing and a few peripheral signings. That's not Premier League. That's not winning a Premier League. You don't do that. You don't just buy one big player and then go, that's enough. So we've never spent in the way it takes to win a Premier League, because even if we have one good summer of spending, we don't follow it up again. And the reason for that is because when you're a business, the difference between coming second or third and winning it is a trophy. Financially, I would put it like this. If you finish third in the Premier League and you finish first in the Premier League, the thing you get is the trophy, the status. It's competitive. You've won. That's what you get. But financially, the gap's not very much. Let's say, I doubt it's even £100 million between third and first. I don't think it is. So it's the trophy that you get. You win. Your fans are happy. You're the best. That's what it's all about. So the gap between third and fourth financial reward won't be massive. The gap between third and fourth first to win it, to build the team to win it, could be £500 million. You know what I mean? Like, so finishing third and winning the title probably is another £500 million in spend, maybe £300 million, depending how close you are. But actually winning it, you don't get that money back. The gap in financials is not that. And that's why we won't do it, because we're a business and we'll go, as long as we're in the Champions League, that's what matters. We'll pay to be in the Champions League. We're not going to pay the extra to win the league. So, and they've never done that. There's some people in the chat saying, well, I don't agree with that. Well, prove it. Prove I'm wrong. Because we've literally been second twice. One under Ollie, one under Mourinho. We didn't go for it. We've been in the Champions League positions multiple times in the last 13 years and we didn't go for it. What we normally do is get in the Champions League and lower the spend. So it'd be very interesting what we do this summer, because I don't remember a summer where we've qualified for the Champions League and then spent big. We normally spend big to get in the Champions League and then cut the savings. So it'd be interesting to see what we do. But look, I might be wrong. I'd love to be wrong. But I personally think if you could plant a little bug in the boardroom, you would probably hear the words, we're never going to pay to win the league. We just want to be in the Champions League every year. And that's not what I want. And, you know, maybe if we finished third for the next 4 years and I was saying I'm not happy about that, people would say you're a moaner. But that's not, you know, third place is not Man United. Second place is not Man United. We should be winning things. We didn't spend last January to help with the Europa League, which would have led to the Champions League football as well, says Patrick Lynch. Yeah. Well, it's going to be very interesting this summer transfer window. Be very interesting indeed. Apparently, Walter Maeder is not playing for Newcastle tomorrow. They've been hit by illness. Oh my God, we get so much luck. We do get lucky, don't we? Red cards, injuries. So Nick Walter Maeder has not trained since the weekend and is doubtful for the match tomorrow. I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. Jacob Ramsey is back. Sounds too soon for Liberamento, who's got a hamstring. Miley, Bruno G, Kraft, Shah, all out. And they're not missing that many then, are they? We could do with a couple of more getting the shits. I thought they were going to say like Tenali and Gordon, which I'm not wishing the shits on them at all. I'm just saying, like, I mean, Volta Maeda is not necessarily a player that we're going to worry about too much, I don't think, judging by the chat. Thing about Volta Maeda is, obviously, I covered the Bundesliga, but he'd gone when we started covering it, and he was at Stuttgart with Stiller. And they called him Volta Messi there, which is obviously a very good nickname. And Bayern Munich did want him, but you do sort of look at him and go, was that Newcastle just desperately signing a striker because they've missed out on everybody? Because I don't think Volta Maeda is that bad. I just don't think he suits their system. Brian says, if it was Tenali or Bruno Guimaraes, that would be bigger. Bruno Guimaraes is out anyway. He's injured. He was never playing tomorrow. So we won't be seeing Bruno Guimaraes tomorrow. He's definitely out. Right, okay, let's cover what Paul Scholes has said about the Carrick situation, because obviously on his podcast, this is a direct quote from Paul Scholes about the managerial situation. Let me know what you think. Just on a little bit of transfer news as well. Actually, I'll come back to that Danny Welbeck story in a minute. Let me just do this first. Okay. Okay, so Paul Scholes on Carrick and the next permanent manager of Manchester United. The perfect one out there, Ancelotti, is still out there. I know he's the coach of Brazil. He's the perfect one for Manchester United, where he'll make the players feel like $1 million. He has the experience of winning stuff. But the question is he too old now? That's the only thing. Is there anyone else of that ilk with more experience? They need presence as a leader. The question also is, has Michael Carrick got the experience? I know it's a big question, and I know he's managed in the Championship, but this is different. Can we see Michael Carrick winning the Premier League for Manchester United? I don't know yet. And I think the biggest thing is, what type of manager will they look for? A tactician or a man manager who looks after people? Solskjaer was that, but all the people who are man managers, they always have a brilliant coach next to them, which Michael has got with Steve Holland. The club has to decide, do they want a master tactician who has failed? Ollie had the management skills, but did he have the experience to go and win a trophy? The same questions will be asked of Michael. I mean, I don't really know what Scholes he's saying there. I think it's sort of just leaving it up in the air, isn't he? I mean, look, there's a lot of people talk about Steve Holland. I mean, I'm not actually totally convinced about Steve Holland, to be honest with you. I'm not. I think people wax lyrical about him. He spent a lot of time with Southgate and the football was shit. Obviously, he was at Chelsea before. It was a little bit better. And he has done a good job with Manchester United whilst keeping it quite simple, in my opinion. If we want simple instructions, I think Steve Holland obviously has a lot of success. We've seen it in the last few weeks, and we saw it with England, who did get to Euros finals and World Cup semi-finals. So look, a simple tactical coach, I think Steve Holland can do a job. Michael Carrick, as he says, there's too much uncertainty. It is a punt. For me, I'm not going to go over what I've said before. People just, you know, people overreact to things. The reality is, I wouldn't give Michael Carrick the job at the moment. But it also really does depend, to turn a different leaf, who's out there? Who are we going for? Again, we sort of always end up back with Jason Wilcox, who is absolutely shit at his job. So, and he decides. He decides who gets fired. He decides who gets sacked. And I think that the debate about Carrick is great. The debate about Nagelsmann or Enrique or Ancelotti is exciting. But what we're always going to have to keep coming back to is that the guy who's going to make this decision is Jason Wilcox. And he's crap. He's absolutely crap. He's got no idea what this football club's all about. So look, the reality is, do you think Luis Enrique or Nagelsmann or Ancelotti are going to work for Jason Wilcox? They're not. So we're already limiting the talent pool of what we can do. I would say Jason Wilcox recruiting the Man United manager is like Man United signing a midfielder in the summer, but saying we're only going to buy people who are under 26 and live in Spain.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part, guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Or a Spanish, you know, like those parameters massively limit you. And Wilcox as director of football, the parameters that he puts in place are going to massively limit us, because we know he likes to be get involved, and we know he likes to have the final say. And we also know he's not very good. So this is the guy that's going to recruit our manager. So I don't have a lot of trust in it. I don't have a lot. This, the guy who's going to decide, I don't trust. So we can have all these conversations, but let's cut through the crap. I mean, Paul Scholes is dancing around the issue a little bit there. Do United do this? Do United do that? The guy who's making the decision, I don't trust him. I don't think he's shown any evidence that he can do this job. And also, he's got no experience himself. So when Paul Scholes says a Man United going to go for an experienced coach or somebody that's a punt with very little inexperience, that's exactly what we did with our director of football. I mean, he's literally a Man City youth coach and then one season at Southampton who'd been relegated. So I think that I think that's the overarching thing that concerns me, is the guy who's making the decisions is out of his depth and inexperienced. So this is why, if you had Ralph Rangnick as your director of football, or you had Berta, like Arsenal, like if Arteta leaves Arsenal, they've got Andrea Berta, who has massive experience, massive relationships, you know, literally probably knows every top manager in football and is respected, and could probably pick up the phone to Nagelsmann or Ancelotti or Enrique and say, Mikel's left, we need a new manager. This is how I work. I think you'd be brilliant at Arsenal. And they're going to have a queue of top managers. United have got Wilcox ringing round saying, yeah, you know Amorim. Yeah, fucked him up. Yeah, absolutely fucked him up. Yeah. And I'm still standing. Anyway, I'm looking for another manager. I don't really know what I'm doing, but if you start causing me trouble, you better be ready. I will fuck you up. Yeah, that big time. Yeah. Hello. This is the guy making the phone calls, and it doesn't get spoken about because the British press are terrified of saying anything truthful about the Man United board because they might not get a press conference. So have you noticed all anybody, I saw a piece in The Athletic this morning. All they're doing at the moment is writing positive pieces about Michael Carrick. And I don't even think it's because they want Carrick to get the job. They're just arse-licking Wilcox. Everything they write is, oh, Carrick this, Carrick that. The story to every journalist out there that covers Man United, you know what the story is? The recruitment of this manager in the summer is massive for Manchester United. It's the next 3 years. And you're not writing about it at all because you're terrified of Jason Wilcox, because he is the guy that is going to choose our manager. And like I just said there, if you've got a respected director of football who knows every manager in the world, we're laughing. We've got a guy from Southampton who's made loads of mistakes, has literally just sacked a manager costing us £25 million, who wants to be a head coach himself, who is apparently going to recruit the most important manager of Man United's recent history. That's the story. He's not the guy to do it. And nobody wants to talk about it. But he is the guy who's going to recruit our next manager. That's the story for me. Patrick Lynch says, it's not only about working with director of football in the now, but do top managers think that the director of football can provide them with what they will need in the future? Everything in the last 2 years points to no. Well, yeah. And look, I think this is a very good point, because if I was being recruited, whether I was Carrick, Nagelsmann or whoever, and Wilcox and co say to me, we're going to back you and support you and we're going to get you the players we want, in the back of my mind, I've got to go, this sounds very similar to Ten Hag, very similar to Amorim, very similar to Mourinho, very similar to Van Gaal, very similar to Ollie. And every single one of them didn't get what they wanted. And every single one of them ended up being the blame. And the next manager will be the blame. But you know what's really funny? Ange Postecoglou got sacked by Spurs. And when he was, he constantly said about issues with mentality and everything like that. He goes on the overlap and says, there's issues with mentality there. And because Spurs are doing shit again, all the Spurs fans are like, Ange was right. But when Ange was there, get Ange out. Because the manager always takes the blame for other people's problems. And the problems at Spurs are still there, and the problems at Man United are still there. And you can keep putting managers in, but if those managers don't get what they need, they'll be gone. 300 million budget, we better secure Anderson first priority. That will set the benchmark for second midfielder that complements Anderson and Mainoo. What are your thoughts on that, says Amit? I think Amit, hopefully we have got that budget. I really do. What are your thoughts on the PSG nonce situation, says Mant. Don't know what it is. And we didn't spend last January to help with done that one as well. If Ugarte departs, Man United must sign three midfielders, says Amit. I completely agree with you on that one. Just reminded me about Bruno, actually. I spoke about Bruno last night. And I think it got clipped up by our socials about the Bruno deniers who won't give him any credit. Despite the fact that he's only one of three players in our recent history that have got 100 goals and 100 assists for Manchester United. So it got clipped. And I was looking at some of the comments and, I don't really normally notice, but I was just looking at some of the comments and it was like, you're one of the biggest ones. You're one of the biggest cheerleaders against Bruno. You're one of the biggest haters. And I was like, I don't normally jump in not two-footed on stuff like that. But like, I'm sure most of you know from watching the channel, like, there is context. Like, I don't know how long many of you have been watching. If you're new, please do subscribe. But, like, I spent 6 months talking about Bruno Fernandes. Like, nobody really even knew who he was. Like, I was obsessed with Bruno Fernandes. Like, absolutely. He's always been one of my favourite players. But, like, any relationship, whether it's your wife, your brother, your sister, your mother, it's not all good. You argue, you fall out, you don't like them, you do like them. I have been hard on Bruno at times. I know I have, but I've never not said he's not one of my favourite players. And also, what people don't realise is there's a very big difference between saying I'd sell Bruno Fernandes, get him out of the club when he's playing in the midfield, and I'll never sell him if he's playing as a number 10, which is exactly what the conversation has been. Certainly on this channel for a year. In the midfield, cash in. He's not a midfielder. As a number 10, don't let him go. So just for a little bit of clarity, because some people are just morons. Not you lot, but I think most of... I specifically remember doing a poll around early June when he was in talks with Saudi. And I remember it. I remember doing a show on it. It went on for about an hour. It was a bloody good show. And then effectively it got quite passionate. And there were people who said sell him anyway. But I remember the poll. And it was like, it was 74% would sell him if he was a midfielder. And I was one of them. And then we did another poll. What if he's a number 10? And it was like 82% keep him. And I was one of them. And that sort of explains it. Why would you sell a player? Look, Bruno can be very frustrating. And at times I've been frustrated with Bruno. It is hard when he has a shit game, but he gets two goals and two assists. It is sometimes a head wrecker because you'll go, he's played absolutely shit, but he's just gone and won us the game. And he can be frustrating like that. And I think there is a debate there about that. It's like a goal scorer who plays shit, but then scores the winning goal. That in football has been... people have made careers out of that. But it's always been a really interesting, almost pub debate. Like, has a player had a bad game if they play bad for 89 minutes but then score the winning goal? Well, I think they have. But I can also understand the argument, well, they can't have done because they've won the game. But I think it's a 90-minute game. And your performance across 90 minutes... as a coach, I would never condone having a player that plays shit and then scores the winning goal. Because I think it's important that you do play well as well. But sometimes Bruno does do that. But the overarching thing with Bruno is that it's just, you just can't argue with the fact that he's the number one assist maker in the Premier League by a very long way. He's a number one chance creator in the Premier League by a very long way. I do think he's benefiting for this season from the death of football. I don't think there are. Beyond Bruno, maybe Cherki, maybe Cole Palmer when he's at it. I don't think there's many creators in the game at the moment. I mean, the massive growth area is set pieces, isn't it? As we know, there's not many, you know, we certainly haven't got many number 10s creating goals, but we've got one. And you just can't replace that. You can't replace that in the modern game. Danny Welbeck's story. Okay. Let's have a look. Where was I? There was something about Danny. Oh, yeah, Danny Welbeck. Some people were saying Danny Welbeck to Manchester United in the summer. Not going to happen. Ricky might be unhappy. Some of you might be unhappy. That experienced striker for one season, should we bring Danny Welbeck in? I actually, when I heard this, I was like, I actually don't mind this. Imagine Danny Welbeck back at Man United for one season as a backup to Sesko. We've got Champions League football. I was like, that sort of works for me. He's just signed a new deal with Brighton for another season. So it won't be happening. But you know what? Going back to the constant, it wouldn't be happening anyway because he's over 28. So we wouldn't have done it anyway, would we? But it can't happen now. Also, I've been sent this as well. Man United have added Borussia Dortmund boss Niko Kovac to their shortlist for their next managerial appointment. They won't do that. They won't do that. Like, look, sometimes he's more like 36, not 26, says Jims. Sometimes, as I've always said to you on the news show, we're here to cover the news. Absolutely fantastic. I love it. And hopefully you enjoy it as well. But I think sometimes some people don't understand the concept of the news show in the sense that we're here to talk about the news and react and debate it. And sometimes it will feel like it's quite credible news. And sometimes it will feel like it's total shit news. We're not going to go for Kovac from Dortmund. Maybe Favel has mentioned him, Dortmund, Bundesliga, I don't know. But we're not going to go for that type of coach. We will not go for a European coach that's not high tier. So like Ten Hag, Amorim, they were European coaches with potential. We've done that. We won't do that again. If we go for a European coach, and I think we will do, we could do and we should do, it will have to be high profile. So Nagelsmann, Enrique, Conte, Pochettino, Ancelotti. And I agree with that. I think if you're going to go for a European coach, you've got to go and get the best. But I also think if you're going to go for a British coach, you've got to go and get the best, and there aren't any. So the next manager of Man United has got to be wow for me. It's got to be the wow factor. But I don't think we'll get it. I think we'll go for the owl factor because it'll be Wilcox. But I feel that this managerial appointment is the most important managerial appointment we've had since Sir Alex left. We have fucked up so many times. It will be for the next 3 years. We have to go for the wow factor. It's got to be something that everybody sits up and goes, Manchester United. And I don't understand why we don't do that anyway, because we're so brandified. Like, when we got Mourinho, the share price went up massively when we appointed Mourinho. Not just because it was Mourinho, but people were like, Man United are back. That's a wow manager. And you go back historically and look at the share price. When we appointed Mourinho, it went woof. Well, we're motivated by money at this football club. We need to go for the wow factor. But with Wilcox, Wilcox takes the W, doesn't he? And turns it into the owl factor. Right, that's me. Thank you for everybody. I've got to go and do the show with Terry. I forgot. Hot takes. Okay, right. Well, I'm going to get a cup of coffee first. Take care, everyone. We've got Carrick's press conference coming up for you at, I think it's 1:30. We've also got, I'm live at 7, I think, tonight because I'm watching Wolves against Liverpool, hoping that Wolves will get a result because that's a big game for us. So I am live for that. And I just want to give a big shout out to everybody that's been following Gold Devils FC on Instagram, our Baller League team. We're on 9,100 followers, and we've only been up and running for like a day and a half. So if you want to follow that story, our signings, I'm also posting the kit on there today. So Gold Devils FC on Insta, we're nearly at 10K, but I will have the sample of the new kit for the Baller League team coming out today, and we'll be posting that exclusively on Insta as well, which I'm very excited about. It might be something a little bit like one of those. I'm just saying. Take care, everyone. Speak to you all in a bit.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.